You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
Well, my name is Tim, as in First Timothy. And this guy, your pastor, is a dear friend of mine.
That's right.
And I come this morning let me just say a couple of things. So one, I've never preached or with a hat on my head, but I just love this hat. It is my birthday hat that my wife bought for me in a little town called Sydney, Australia. We have walked past this shop a dozen times, and I was like, this is the year. So this is a felt hat. It's a Kubra, which is the best hat in all of Australia, and it's made from rabbits. Because in Australia, a rabbit is an invasive species. Reminds me, you know, of that. Oh, that's too far back. I'm sorry. There was an attack rabbit in the show one time. It's a whole other world. Yeah, some people will get it. For me, it's like, it just takes me to my our son, Chris, has now lived in Australia for 12 years. And so people ask us all the time, have you ever been there 12 years? What do you expect? And we've probably been there 12 times. But today, the reason is Psalm 121, right? That's our passage, wherever. Yeah, there it is. Psalm 121, if you want to turn there, because you're going to need it in the scriptures. But there are some very prevalent or some things that speak to wearing a hat in Psalm 121. And you need to recognize that my role is I'm not serving as the pastor of a church, which I recognize in this city, that's kind of the deal. You know, to be called pastor, to be at a particular church. Well, God called me here 4.5 years ago to help pastors and to help planters. And so in the Australian mindset, I'm a trail guide to the churches, and I'm a life-saving guide to the planters and the pastors. So I have to share with you the one prayer request that Pastor Nathan has given me really recently. It's always been there, you know, because I always ask him, well, how can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? And most recently, he said, just don't leave. You talk about pressure. I mean, I feel all this pressure that I could never leave Chicago because of Nathan. But you know what? I'm not going to leave until Holy Spirit says leave.
Amen.
Now, that's pretty tough. So we were talking today. There's been spiritual warfare out the wazoo the last 3 or 4 days. My heat quit working at my house. That's kind of important in this climate, even though today is helping. And I have a series of meetings coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, which are just going to be hell on wheels. And I need your prayers to walk through that, but it only makes sense. But here we are in the midst of this, right here, right now, in this place. And we have had tremendous worship. We have had tremendous fellowship. We have had tremendous breaking of the bread together. And I want us to pray one more time. Father God, like that song says, it's your unfailing love. Lord, there are people here in the midst of an educational endeavor that's kicking their backside. And God, we just pray for victory in the name of Jesus. And Lord, there are people here having relational problems, even right here. But then there are others, Lord, who have relational issues in their family and other parts of the country that's just breaking their hearts, or other parts of the world. And Lord, we just give it all to you. And Father, we just beg you to send Holy Spirit to show up right now in this place and take Psalm 121 and take it to the next level and take it into our hearts and do things that we don't even understand nor that we can't imagine. Just take a hold of this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I always tell churches that they should have Kleenex boxes on the front pews. I'll take two with a side of milk. That'd be great. The stool of wonders. Psalm 121. That's my assignment. And I have to say, Tani, where are you? Right there. Gosh, I'm looking over your head. I really enjoyed her message last week. Didn't you? Come on. Give it up. It's okay to clap in church. And I apologize to the previous six whoever preached before her. I didn't get answers. And it's just amazing how God can speak through a heart that is open. And until we as the church say to all of the people of the church, you're ministers of the gospel. We'll never change the city. And maybe it was an omen this week. Maybe it was a word from God. Sometimes I don't know. But I got my new Ventra card in the mail. Did anybody get their new Ventra card this week in the mail? See, I have a witness back there. And do you know what year my Ventra card is over? 2040. So maybe I'm going to be here till my card dies. Or maybe I'm going to die before my card. I don't know. I'm just praying, you know, so many people. And that's why I really respect the pastor. He's still here. 7 years later. Go ahead, give it up for that too. And you know, and the kids, you know, they were down here and they keep growing. And you know, the crazy thing is, we are known for chasing pastors and planters off. We're known as a graveyard for church planting. But I tell you, what God is doing right here is so significant. You have no idea. You have no idea. I'm going to keep looking you in the eye. You have no idea that this is so significant, because this light is still shining. And it's not been put out. When God is done with real church, it's going to go out and be dark right here. But do you know how God could change this church in the matter of a month or 6 months or 12 months? He could radically change. Well, I don't know why I'm going here, but I got to go down this trail. He said I had an hour and a half. So in 1986, oh my gosh, half of you, most of you, good year. 86. I became pastor of a church in Gainesville, Georgia, which had 900 people on the roll. It had 30,000 square feet of buildings and 11 acres of land. Like a preacher's dream, But only 125 were showing up on Sundays because they had fired the previous five pastors. That is not the preacher's dream. And I told the Lord, I do not want to go to this church. They fired five guys. And I'm sitting in a room with my wife in an old house in a mill village where they used to make fabric. And the original pastor who brought that church to life was just sitting there. And I wish I had a video. The Holy Spirit just came down. And the Holy Spirit said, pastor this church. And for the first 2 years, that was the most difficult thing I ever did. I mean, the children, the teenage children of the deacons of this church, they put for sale signs in my front yard. That's the level of love that I was feeling. But in the third year, God pulled back the curtain and 124 people joined that church in 12 months. And 44 of those people, I baptized. And all of a sudden, the power shifted. And they put even more signs in my front yard. But it was the Holy Spirit at work. When I left at the seventh year, there were 350 people on Sunday. The deacons who were so cantankerous had all quit and gone to other churches. We had new leaders. And I couldn't believe it. And I was the first pastor to leave that church and go to a position with the Home Mission Board, which predates the North American Mission Board. And oh my gosh. I was the first guy to leave, and the next guy was the happiest man on earth because he had 10 years of uninterrupted peace. And the current pastor now grew up in the neighborhood where the church was. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Psalm 121. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Wow. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So let's divide this psalm into pieces, okay? So it's real easy. There are four pieces to this psalm, and they are two verses per piece. Can you get that in your head? You got that? So, 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7 and 8. So let's look at the very first one. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Now you need to know, I have read this psalm and I've read this psalm and I've read this psalm and I've prayed through this psalm and I've talked to the Lord about this psalm. And all of a sudden, it starts to come together in just those four sections and in four little words. The first word is one, two. Oh, gosh, this place is so good. I didn't even do anything. The first is sight, is to see. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Now, when it comes to sight, you have to recognize what is the eye? The eye is the window to the soul. What you look at and what you make the center of your attention will show up in your life. Don't fool yourself. Oh, I can look at this. It won't matter. No, no, no. It will matter. It will change. It will make you different. So I go to Genesis 3:5, and the words of Satan himself, who says, "For God knows that when you eat of this, or eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." How often has Satan spoken into your life, "It's okay to look at this"? This city is so full of darkness. I love this city. I care about this city. I'm beginning to see some light pop up here and there, but I believe there's enough light in this church to make a difference in multiple communities all around us. But here is Satan saying to Eve, if you just take a bite, it will open your eyes. And then verse 2 says, my help comes from the Lord who has made or is the maker of heaven and earth. And then I'm reminded of 2 Kings chapter 6, where it's Elijah and Gehazi, and they're surrounded by an army, and Gehazi's freaking out because he's the servant. And Elijah says, oh Lord, would you open his eyes? And then what does Gehazi see? He sees the army of the Lord above the army of men. See, that's what light does to darkness. Now, I have to have a real good confession. We at the Sin Network and the North American Mission Board, we have this groovy statement. We're going to push back darkness. All right? I just want to say, that is a bogus phrase. I mean, it's just cool, right? We're going to push back darkness. Well, why the heck would we want to push back darkness when we should eliminate darkness? Yep. You see, Satan is the master trickster. And he is always going to show us, well, that sounds hip. Let's do that. When in reality, we need the scripture. That's right. And I am reminded, if you have, oh, am I moving around too much? I'm sorry. I got ants in my pants. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I'm sorry, turn in your phone to 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 9. What are we going to do when the old timers say, well, when I hear the crinkling of the pages, stop, I know you're there. Yep. It takes a moment to get that one. How do you know when they're on their app and they're there? There should be like a ding built in, you know? What does 1 Corinthians 2:9 say? What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. That little verse should like rock your soul. It really should. It shouldn't be like, oh, that's nice. No, it should really challenge you, because here he is talking about, I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills. You know, we ain't got no hills around here, right? I mean, we have some buildings made by man. I mean, I was way far away the other day. I was in Naperville. And I could see the skyline, right? And that's the closest thing to a hill. Unless you drive to Galena, right? You go, oh, you didn't know where that's at. I'm sorry, you guys never, Galena, Mississippi, Galena, Illinois.
No, I'm in Mississippi.
Oh, okay, that's all right. But here we are, where it's flat. And so what do we look to? Well, you know, my office at my house faces due east. And I'm probably focused right at the Sears Tower. Because that's kind of the what we call the epicenter of our city. But I look to that and I go, Lord, would you take down the darkness and lift up the light? Would you remove the effects of Satan, who is hard at work in this city, and would you begin to show me what you have prepared for those that love you? So what does that mean? How do I get to enjoy this? What a beautiful phrase. I look to the hills. Where does my help come? It comes from the Lord. How does that help me? It helps me because if I look to the, like today, praise God, the blue sky that's there, and it's not California. I won't say what it is, but it's Chicago. And I look to the skies, and I'm encouraged. See, if we only look at our surroundings, we're never encouraged. We're depressed. But that's what this city does. It makes you depressed, and then it makes you do things that you didn't plan on doing. But if I look to the sky and I remember that Lord God is the maker of heaven and earth, that's the reminder I need. It's like having things in our lives that remind us. Now, before I came to Chicago, I didn't have a lot of things that would remind me of the Lord's presence. But if I'm going to survive here, I have to have reminders of the Lord's presence. Like, somewhere in here, I have a cross. Now, this is not a special cross. It's a cross that's not going to turn green on me, you know. And it's made by an artist in Atlanta, and yeah, I forget I have this ring too. It's also a cross, and those are two of my physical reminders of the ever present Holy Spirit. Now, it's not a crucifix. There's no Jesus on this cross. It's just rope, and it's not special because it's like a lucky charm that I kiss and I'm good. It's just a physical reminder of a spiritual reality. And I need those reminders. This verse is the first reminder. I need my eyes focused on the Lord because what I see determines what I do. What's the second one? Go to 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So as I prayed through this, it was obvious the eyes, but then the second is the feet. So what am I wearing today? I'm going to take this off. This is my favorite hiking shoe. I could not afford this shoe on my own. It's an O-B-O-Z. I can't even pronounce it. I found it at, you know, one of those really, really ritzy, fancy stores that sell hiking gear in New York, of all places. And REI. That's a nice place. And later, if you want to touch it, I'll let you touch it. But it keeps my feet from falling. I was going to say, I like your boots. I was looking at those earlier. And I really was. My mother, who is 88 years old, you know what her biggest fear is?
Falling.
I have a friend that works with Illinois Baptist, Joe Oliver. He's in his late 70s. And he was turning to go up a stair in his house, and he missed. He broke 5 ribs. It was like just racking, you know, it was just busted to pieces, right? And I asked him later, I said, what'd you learn from this? He said, never let go of the railing. Yep. So what is that? There's a direct correlation between hands and feet. In other words, we're asking the Lord to keep my foot from falling. But sometimes I need a railing. I need something to hang on to. You know what that railing is? It's the Word of God. Because when I'm slipping and I'm considering doing something I shouldn't do, if I can call out a piece of the Scripture, you know, they say that the Chinese who are being put in prison right now around their country for believing in Jesus, they are beginning to memorize the entire Bible. And they're doing it because somebody slips in a part of Galatians, chapters 1, 2, and 3. And they take it and they memorize it and they memorize it and then they pass it on. But if they get caught and they spend time in confinement, all of a sudden they lose the piece of paper, but where's the Scripture? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. So even though he promises me that he's going to keep my feet secure, he also promises me a handle upon which to walk in life. My mother has a portable railing now. At 88, she is not giving up on serving Jesus. That's her motto. And so what does she have now? One of those really cool walkers that you can put the seat down and have a seat and you just go and go and go. That's a portable railing. And we live in a house that has stairs. What do I do now without a question? I grab the railing. Going up or going down? Because when I was a church planter, I decided I was invincible. Right? And I stepped on my basement steps in my old farmhouse wearing a wool pair of socks in the early morning, and I broke 3 ribs. Only by God's grace. You know, I can still feel that pain. And it's a reminder that we cannot, just tell her to come on in. We don't care if she's late. I don't. I love people. And so it is feet. It's how we walk. But I want to remind us of a verse. Let me just read it to you. Matthew 4:6. It says, Satan, here we go again, speaking. It's amazing what Satan says. He says to Jesus, you know, throw yourself off from here, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now, if you're in Psalm 121, I want you to go to Psalm 91. In your phone, just put a whatever. I don't understand how to do that exactly. I can find it. I can't keep two passages back and forth. But Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, it's amazing how Scripture echoes itself. And in Psalm 91, verses 11, it says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands. Isn't that interesting? Didn't we just talk about hands? On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. The exact same thing that we were saying. angels. So maybe when I don't know what to do, maybe there's an angel by my side who helps me with his hand. The other day I was driving across 294 from my house in Elgin all the way to Park Forest. What a great drive, right? And 294, I'm driving. I'm also on the phone. I'm going to quit doing that. I can't do both. Can you drive and talk and focus? No, we're all lying to ourselves, right? So, but I get a glimpse in the up in front of me, but there are trucks here, there are cars here, there's cars in front of me and cars behind me, and something is spinning in the road. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, here I come. Help. That's all I pray. And from the front of the car in front of me emerges a rather large muffler that has become detached. And all I can see is, there goes my oil pan, there goes all this stuff. And I get over as far as I can get within the millisecond that I have without hitting the guy to the left of me. And what did I do? Bam, right over the top of that muffler. But I went over, you know, the little sweet spot in the middle where it's just kind of smushy. Lord knows where that muffler went and who else encountered that muffler. But when I got to my destination, my tire was fine. The air pressure was the same. And I gave it to my neighbor the next day, who's a master mechanic, and he checked it out. He's like, there's nothing wrong with the tire. And I said, praise God. Holy Spirit, angels of the Lord, help me to keep my feet from falling. But then look at verse 4. It says, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And I want to focus on the word keep. It says, he who keeps Israel. And if you study that word, it is all about guarding, watching, saving, being a lifeguard, being a hedge about you. Now, that doesn't make sense in our society. We don't have hedges. In Africa, they have hedges that they build about the little hut that they live in. It keeps the wild animals out. And the Lord is a keeper. Does that mean I can walk down the streets of any place in this huge city and feel safe? You better believe it does. Now, if I stumble into a drug deal and there's three or four weapons involved and I get my head blown off, you know what? Praise God. He's going to take care of my wife and my kids, and I'm just trucking down the streets of gold going, hey, Paul, how about a high five? I mean, come on. How many of us live our lives afraid? And it's just time that the people of God stood up for the Father God in a city of darkness and go, hey, we're going to walk in peace. We're going to walk in light. Now, I have to tell you, I receive instruction very well. So I go down to Park Forest and hang out with my brothers down there who are planting churches, who grew up in Roseland, who all those places. And I'm just like, so how do I survive? Oh, they gave me all kinds of good insight. You know, the whole concept was, they don't know what they don't know. So stand tall. And you'll be okay. I was like, really? Yeah, that's all it takes. Now, it's a lot more complicated than that. But it's the reality that if my foot is going to be strong and not slip, I'm going to have a Father God who is protecting me. So I'm all over the city. You think I'm not telling the truth. I invite you to come with me for a couple of days. And you'll go, why do you go all these places? Because all these places need to hear the gospel. Amen. All these places need to have pastors and planters who are encouraged. And it's almost like, Nathan, it is almost like in the physical world, the flywheel is starting to move. Maybe here it's the shadow of the cross is beginning to fall. Because lives are being changed and people are beginning to believe they can make a difference where they are. Wow. Next two verses, 5 and 6. Oh no, I'm out of time. The Lord is your keeper. That is not zookeeper, that is keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Wow. That's why you wear a hat. This is my hat verse. You thought I was going to go all this way without a hat verse? This is it. I mean, how do you protect yourself from the sunshine? Well, you stay inside. No, I don't want to stay inside. I want to have shade. And this hat will shade me from the sun. It'll keep about out to here shaded. That's why the Aussies make them so wide and so big. I mean, they don't believe in baseball caps. They're like, that's stupid. It only covers maybe part of your nose. And they're like, they're even bigger ones than this. And it's the realization that the Lord is my shade. I mean, don't you ever feel like it's so hot and so oppressive that you're just not going to make it? You need some holy shade. Wow. Remember Psalm 91? Go back there real quick. Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. It's one of my favorite verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh my gosh. So no matter where I am in the heat, I have the shadow of the Almighty. He's over me. He's my shade. One of my prayers that the Lord gave me a long time ago was that we would see a white canopy built over Chicago and connected maybe to Detroit and connected to Cleveland and maybe connected to St. Louis and Toronto that creates this beautiful white canopy under which the power of Satan is empty and the power of God is moving. See, we have to have those kinds of beliefs because when I read this, it's like the Lord is your keeper. He's going to take care of you. He is your shade. Look at verse 6. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. Come on. I'll give you my phone if you don't have one. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. See, found Daniel. You hit chapter 20, chapter 3, verse 21. You ready? Now this is about SMA. You know who SMA is? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Some of my heroes. And what does it say? It says, and I had noticed this before, then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats. Oh my gosh, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego are wearing a hat. Why? It's hot. Yeah. and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Holy camoly. Can you imagine? They got their hats on, and they're just ready. They're ready for the smoking room, and they're ready to see what God's going to do. And they really don't care, right? I mean, it's nothing about they're throwing off their hats, you know, to their wife. Would you hang on to my hat for me? They're just going into the fiery furnace with their hats. It's like moving to Chicago. You show up, and you have everything that you think you need, and you think you can do this, and then the Lord's like, yeah, hang on a minute. Let me turn up the heat. Let me turn up the fire. You're going to want to take the shirt off, the hat off. But what does he do for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Man, he rescues them. He sets them free. He gives them a hope for their future. So in this verse, we've gone from thinking and seeing about our eyes, our feet, and now this is about our head. This is about the head. How do we think? Because if we begin to think defeating thoughts, we will fail. I mean, don't you love watching the 20-something-year-old quarterback in the Super Bowl just kick everybody's butt? Why is that? He doesn't know he can fail. Seriously. I mean, how many times? You can go back. There are a dozen examples of guys who are playing football and they're playing against these monster guys, unbelievable, and they just throw the ball. And they take the fourth quarter and they win the game, right? Why? They don't realize how big those guys are. They don't realize that this is impossible, and they just play. What happens? The older we get, the more reserve we get. Now, okay. Do you know which birthday this was that I got this hat? 33. Exactly. So, on my 60th birthday, my wife bought me this hat. 60. That's okay. I'm trying to live life in four quarters. Quarter one, 0 to 30. Don't know nothing. Quarter two, 30 to 60. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm getting better. 60 to 90. Oh, I know what's going on now, people. Here we go. It's the most productive years of my life. And then it's time to chill, and that's the 90 to 120. That is so cute. Now, none of this has anything to do with me, right? It's what I'm choosing to think, but it's what the Lord is up to. I mean, we are taking too many men of God who know what to do, and we're putting them out to pasture. And we shouldn't. We should open the door. Now, because exactly, we were talking the other day. When I was 55, I lost my job. And because of that, I came to Chicago, which was bizarre. And I applied to like 10 churches, you know. I've been a pastor. I did it for 8 years, and I've been in ministry all these years. Nobody wanted to talk to me because I was 55 and up. They want the 35-year-old with the 3 children who are cute, and they want the guy to have 20 years of experience. Yep. I'm not kidding. So be careful when you get older. You just stay here. Just stay here. Just stay here. So how we think is so important. It's realizing that the Lord is my keeper and the Lord is my shade. So sometimes we need to touch our heads and go, okay, Lord, I ain't got a clue what I'm doing, but I need you. I need you to help me. I'd rather be in California where it's nice, but I'm here. So, Lord, would you protect my head? Last part, the way I think. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. So, again, the Lord will keep. He'll build that hedge around you. And really, the focus of these last two verses is about your life, who you are and what you stand for. And what we need are more people willing to live their lives in a way that is courageous and that calls out to the Lord and says, you know, I know there's only one way. And his name is Jesus. And I'm gonna tell people about Jesus wherever I go, but my life is going to mirror Jesus in whatever I do. And when I'm tempted to go a different way, I am going to ask the Lord to help me to live. So it's keep me. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in for now and forevermore. So if we take these passages, it is see, it is walk, it is think, and it is live. But what's the opposite? The opposite is blind, lame, confused, and dead. Would you have thought out of this little 121 psalm that these four words emerge with such power? I mean, I want to see, I want to walk, I want to think, and I want to live to the glory of God. But I see people all the time who are blind and who are lame and who are confused and who are dead. Okay, take your little phone, go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verses 29 through 31. I just began asking the Lord, is there an example of this? Where do we see this? You ready? Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. Isn't that funny? He goes up on the mountain. I didn't write this. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them, so that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. That's pretty darn close to Psalm 121. But it's the last part, verse 31. So the crowd wondered. Now, we need to recognize that the time frame to bring someone to faith in Jesus in Chicago is not this. The time frame is this, right? So what do? You introduce them to Jesus and you get them to wonder. And as they begin to wonder, then you begin to share more. And the more they wonder and the more you share, the closer those time frames come together. And then they come to faith. But you have to see, okay? when you are standing around a fire that's just started, right? You got lots of wood, and it's just underneath, you got the little kindling, and it's just starting to burn. If you throw more wood on the fire, it's going to die, right? But after that thing starts to burn, and it starts to catch, and more wood begins to burn, and now you can't stand next to it because it's so hot. When you throw in a new piece of wood, it's automatically joined in with the others. See, what we need to recognize is when Jesus showed up, he did not change the world. He did pave the way for the changing of the world by his death on the cross, by his resurrection, by his ascension. But he only worked with like 12 guys. And he really worked with only 3 guys who were a part of the 12. And he started the fire, but by the time he left, it was starting to burn. And then on Pentecost, Holy Spirit came down. I just love Holy Spirit. He's got these 2 little holsters, and they're full of some kind of fire-starting liquid. And he just pours it on and you see, we forget. We look at the big. And we go, oh, if we're not like that, we're nothing. But that's not what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, I just want you to be you. Right here. And I want you to keep building the fire because there's coming a day when I'm going to throw some stuff on that fire. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And you begin to realize that Jesus, see, he is the author of the faith, and he can help people who are lame to walk, the blind to see, the dead to come to life. Those who just aren't thinking right can begin to think. Why? Because we invite Jesus into the event. Nothing plus Jesus is get out of the way. It's going to happen. But you have to believe that. You have to believe in your heart and ask the Lord. This is so good, Nathan. I could just keep going forever. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Oh my gosh. Now, you got to know, I'm in the Word every day. I'm reading 3 to 5 chapters every day in the Word. And I always wake up on the morning that I'm preaching. I'm like, okay, Lord, what is it today? And this was in this morning's reading, the very last verse that I read. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Psalm 121. Is right there in Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. It says we were slaves. How many here, I'm going to get real personal. How many here would say that you've been a slave to something in your lifetime? Yeah. But there's often the call to go back to the slavery you were once in. And you're being called out of the darkness into the light. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So as we pray and then we sing another song this morning, you need to kind of reflect on this word in your own life. You need to ask the Lord, how does this apply to me? And if you need prayer this morning for anything, I'll be up here. Pastor Nathan will be up here. Tani will be up here and others who lead. So don't walk out of here with something that's just all over your heart. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, you're the lifter of our heads. And Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus over Real Church. God, would you allow Holy Spirit to fall on this place? Would you allow Holy Spirit to come and to bring conviction in our lives where we are not listening to you, we are not following you? And God, would you restore our hearts and our spirits? Would you take us, Lord, who are depressed and downcast because of this city and the places that we live and the jobs that we do and the relationships that we have? Holy Spirit, would you come and blow that beautiful wind of your Spirit into our hearts and into our minds and encourage us and remind us that we're not on our own. We're not here for any other reason than to follow you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus.